Thank you. Look forward to it, PJ. And King's Kids, you're dismissed. You can go to the King's Kids class. So thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you once again this wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, oh Father, Lord. You're so faithful. You're so awesome. You're so great and wonderful. You're so compassionate and kind and loving. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. And I just submit this time into your hands, oh Lord. You just guide us and lead us and enlighten our hearts and minds, oh Lord, so that we may see your presence. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm very blessed to be here at Granada Hills Community Church. It's been a wonderful journey to me and to my family and also my sister's family. This church has been so blessing to our lives. We've been learning a lot. We've been growing in the presence of God. So it's been so great. We've been learning and growing in the presence of God. So today, I'm very much blessed to be here in front of you. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 1 as well as verse 24 through 27. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, this morning we are all here to see whom we are here to see. We came here to see not just the stage, wonderful, beautiful stage that we have here, or not the instruments that we have here, not our brand new pastor, Eugene, not to see him or not to see any one of us here, right? We are here to see our King, our Savior, our Master, our Creator. So we are here to see him. So when we come to his presence, when we see him, there is nothing lack in our lives. Whatever it is happening right now in our life, it doesn't matter. When we really see him, when we see his presence, everything will be clear. Everything will be clear. When we see him face to face, you know, even though you are in a chaos and confusion, you are going to be delivered from the confusion and chaos. So we are here this morning to see him. So when we go back to the Old Testament, Moses, we all know Moses. So Moses has had everything. He had everything. He was like prince, charm. Okay, he learned everything. He was very skillful. He was very talented. And, you know, he has everything. He owns everything. Big palace, you know, maybe, you know, all the technology, whatever technology in those days they had, he has everything in his hands. You know, nowadays, you know, if you drive Mercedes or maybe BMW, people think, you know, you are so great. Or if you're carrying iPhone 6 or maybe 7, whatever, you know. People think, oh, you are so smart or maybe rich. So the way we dress, the way we carried out our lives day to day, we try to impress people. And, you know, but all these things, whatever we have, all these things are nothing in the presence of God. So Moses, he had everything. He had everything because he was prince. He was prince. So the word of God clearly talks about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So Moses, he had everything. He had everything, but he did not settle what he is looking at. You know, we see things, we are so attracted to things. You know, we see things, we are so convinced by the things that we see each and every day of our life. You know, we see things, we are so manipulated by things what we see. Okay? You know, there is a saying, you know, what you see, what you would become. You know, when we see something, eventually we would become something, whatever we. So the images are going to be so effective that can change our thinking pattern. You know, that's why people suggest that, you know, just be careful what you watch on the TV. So the movies that we watch, if they are not biblical, if they are not based on the Bible, on the scriptures, they may change our thinking pattern and they may affect our life, because the image is greater than maybe 1,000 words or maybe million words, I'm not sure, but image has so much impact on our minds, on our hearts, on our lives. So, well, Moses was not content towards the physical things or material things because he was able to see Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the eternal God, you know, in whom we have life and we have peace, in whom we have everything. So Moses, Bible is very clear, as you read through the whole book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, as you see there, and from the 24th verse through 27th, at the end of the 27th verse, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured, you know, endurance. Endurance is so powerful word. Endurance. You know, when we have hardships, when we have trials, when we have temptations, you know, when we are mocked, you know, when we are disapproved. So whatever situation we are in, sometimes we fall and sometimes we tremble. Even some people, they commit suicide because of failures or whatever it may be. They may not endure. You know, they lose their lives because of circumstances. You know, sometimes circumstances made us so shaky. But when we see our God Almighty, when we are able to see through all these circumstances, when we are able to see him so that we could endure no matter what circumstances we are in right now. So Moses, he was so convicted of things not seen. Moses was so convicted of things not seen. So you may be asking me, okay, can you show God? I wanted to see God. Well, when I was growing up, when I was going to Sunday school, when I was going to youth meetings, okay, I had that kind of question in my mind. When I'm going to see God, can I see God? You know, when I lost my mom, I asked God, God, what is this? So, how I'm going to see you? For sure, in your life, you may have come across these circumstances. You know, when you lost your loved ones, definitely, you was wondering, what's after death? Where my mom went? Where she is? Where my mom, where my dad went? So how the place is going to be? You may have all these questions, but Bible has all the answers. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And apart from that, also, the Bible clearly says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and Omega. So, those who are in Christ, they know where they will be when they die. They have hope and they have future, and they're not shaky, and whatever happens in life, they're in the palm of God's hands. So that's the faith, you know, the scriptures offering us, the word of God is offering us. So Moses, even though he was so rich, he had everything in his life. Nothing is lack in his life. He had everything, yet he was not convicted by the material things that he had, but he was so convicted of things not seen, which means Moses was able to see supernatural things. Moses was able to see supernatural things. You know, as long as we fix our eyes on things that we see, they are going to be vanished. You know, my wife actually, she fell in love with me when she saw a photo of me. So, I was here, she was in India. So, arranged marriages, right? In India, we have arranged marriages. We don't date. Of course, I love to date, but you know, unfortunately, we don't have that system in India. So, my family members, they went to her house and they liked her very much. And my family members, they gave her a photo, whatever it may be. So she saw me on the photo, and later on, she wanted to chat with me on the webcam, and she was shocked because I was so overweight that time. I put on a lot of weight because the photo was very old, actually. So she kind of stuck with me. So she told her parents, yes, I like this guy, and oh, he looks cool and awesome, and he's nice. And then she was shocked. You see the guy? So what we see, of course, I told her, don't worry, when I come to India, I'm going to lose weight. So of course, I lost weight. You know, so everything went well. Thank God we are still together. We love each other. But I'm not going to be like this anymore when I get older. I may have, you know, wrinkled face. So the things that we see, they are not permanent. They are going to change. Word of God says that this whole earth is going to be consumed by the fire, actually. So what we see right now, all things are going to be vanished. These are temporary. That's why Word of God says that we are pilgrims. We are just in a journey to reach our destiny. This is just a stay. You know, when you go to a road trip, you stay in a motel or maybe big hotel or wherever, you stay just a couple of days or maybe one night, and then you move on. So the world that we are living in right now, this is like a motel. We stay for a while and then move on because we have a destiny. One day we're going to see our Creator who created us in His likeness and image, and that's going to be, we are spending our eternity forever and ever. So that is the hope and faith Moses had. So Moses was not convicted by these material things, but he was convicted by the things that are not seen. And also, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So, as I was, you know, sharing my childhood, you know, my faith, you know, I was asking all these questions. Where can I see God? how can I see God? But is it possible? According to the scriptures, actually, you know, there are two types of realms are there. There is one realm which is physical, and there is another realm which is spiritual. You know, we are spirit beings. You know, there is only one difference between all the living creatures and us. That is, we have spirit, apart from soul and apart from body. So we are trichotomy, but we see animals. You know, they are very smart and talented. There are animals, they actually even speak. Some birds, even they speak, but it doesn't mean that they have the spirit. So God only created humans in his likeness and image. When you compare yourself with all the creation that you have right now, you are special. You are unique. We are so unique because we are all created in the likeness and image of God. So, but God has given us eyes, not just only physical eyes that we see. You know, these eyes are awesome. When you think about these eyes, they are very awesome. You can actually zoom your eyes. You can see somewhere, you know, back in those seats, you know, those who are sitting. Or you can just see, you can actually zoom your eyes to focus on particular things. So God is so awesome. The way he created us is so awesome. You know, you may be wondering, is there God? Is there God? This morning my message is actually those who believe in God. Okay, if you really not have the faith about God's existence, you know, God is existed. Okay, self-existed. God existed and he created all of us in his likeness and image. So he is the creator and we are his creatures. At the same time, he has given us dominion over everything because we are created in his likeness and image. He breathed into our nostrils. So we are breathed by him. You know, his spirit is within us. So we have spiritual eyes as well. So we could see things. We could see things spiritually. So as you see here, there are two types of eyesight. You know, first of all, when you look at the definition of seeing or see, as you see there, it's viewing, perceive, and discern, and understand. The word see or seeing, which means to view, to perceive, to discern, and to understand. So when you see God with your spiritual eyes, you would be able to view him, view his presence. You would be able to perceive his presence. You would be able to discern his will in his life, as well as you would be able to understand your future and also your present life. So God has given us these spiritual eyes so that we are not going to stuck with the physical realm and we are not going to be deceived by these material things, but we can overcome and when we can look for the eternal things. So God had given us these spiritual eyes. So as you see, there are two types of eyesight. One is physical and the other one is spiritual. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the scripture is very clear. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So this is what Christian life is all about. This is what Christian life. You know, when you walk by your sight, what you see right now, that is so deceiving. You may be trapped, and that is not actually real. What you see, that's not actually real. You know, before I come to the United States of America, I used to imagine, oh, this country is so godly because I have seen missionaries coming from this country and, you know, evangelizing and starting Bible colleges, hospitals, you know, old age homes, and a lot of things actually you guys did actually, Americans. I was thinking, okay, this country is so, you know, praise and worship country. I see, you know, everywhere people are so, you know, joyful and godly, but my understanding was so wrong. I realized when I came here, it's totally opposite. It is totally opposite. So I see people, and I was almost become a crazy guy, even by looking at people. But thank God, because I have strong faith, I did not walk by sight, but I walked by faith. So when you operate your faith, your spiritual eyes are going to open so that you may see the eternal things. You may see the eternal things. So, and also, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, as you see here, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So every individual has spiritual eyes, whether you are a believer or non-believer. But why unbelievers are not able to see God? Because they were blinded. They were blinded. You know, do you see a blind person? He may have beautiful eyes, maybe green or blue or black or brown. But yet, he may not see, right? So it doesn't mean that you're a Christian, you could really see the spiritual things. If you are blinded, you cannot see spiritual things. Even though you come to church, you cannot see, as long as you are blinded spiritually, you cannot see eternal things. So we have this, you know, distinction between physical and spiritual view. And also, you can't see God with your physical eyes. You know, some of you may be thinking like me, when I'm going to see God, I'm able to see sun, moon, stars, and I'm able to see the whole creation. It's so beautiful, okay, especially San Fernando Valley, all the hills and valleys. When I'm going to see God, is it possible? Moses also had the same intention. He wants to see God. Moses actually used to have the communication with God, like face to face. It doesn't mean that Moses was able to see him and see his glory. Because just imagine, even we cannot see the sun and sun during the noon, we cannot see. We cannot stare at sun. It is so powerful. But it is just a creation by God himself. Just imagine God, we can't even fathom, and we don't even dare to see his presence because he's full of glory, and we can't even put words together to explain how awesome, how big. But there is going to be a day we're going to see him face to face, but not with our physical eyes. So as you see here, according to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So if you have the same eagerness to see God, here is the answer. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So Jesus Christ had revealed God to us. So Jesus Christ, you know, he had revealed Father to us. And also Exodus chapter 33 verse 20. But, you know, God said, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Moses was asking God, God, I wanted to see you. Please show me your face. I really wanted to see you. And God said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. So it is not possible to see God with our physical eyes. And also, you know, these are the scriptures seem to contradict other scriptures which describe various people seeing God. You know, sometimes scriptures may, you know, talk about, oh, people see God. It doesn't mean that they were able to see God with their physical eyes. You know, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, how could Moses speak with God face to face if no one can see God's face and live? In this instance, the phrase face to face is a figure of speech indicating they were in very close communion or communication. So it doesn't mean that, you know, Moses was able to speak to God face to face. It's not literally, you know, face to face talking to each other, but it is, you know, figuratively it was written in the Bible, as well as, you know, as you see, Judges chapter 13, verse 22, and Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." But they had only seen him appearing as an angel. So God had appeared in the form of angels. So, but it doesn't mean that they saw the full glory of God, the fullness of God. So even as you guys know the story of Jacob, Jacob had that interaction with the Heavenly Father. You know, he was so down and so depressed. Everyone left him, and he was running away from his brother to save his life. He was so afraid. And you know, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." But he did not truly see God. It was in a vision that he was that he saw God. It was just a vision. He was able to see God's presence. So all the scriptures, they seem to be contradictory, but they are not literally explaining that people were able to see God with their physical eyes. But, you know, people saw God through Jesus Christ. You know, John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And when you come down to the 14th verse, John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we are able to see God through Jesus Christ, because Jesus had revealed Father to us. But we cannot see God with our physical eyes. But we could still see God with our spiritual eyes. You know, people have seen visions of God. As you see, the Old Testament, you know, there were people who saw visions of God, images of God, and the appearances of God, but no one has ever seen God in all his fullness. No one ever seen God in all his fullness. So it is not possible to see God with our physical eyes. It doesn't mean that God is not existed. God is, he is there. He is there everywhere. You know, where two or three gather in his name, his presence will be there. Right now, he is with us. He is with us. His angels are with us. You know, I heard that, you know, every individual has at least two angels to protect that individual. So you have fallen angels as well as you have angels of God who protects us every step of our life. You know, sometimes the fraction of a second you might have killed with auto accident, right? But you may be wondering how I'm survived. You know, there were cases in your life, for sure. You are almost there at the edge of the destruction, or maybe, you know, end of your life. But God had protected you. So through angels, he protects us. You know, in my life, there were so many occasions I was almost there to and my life. But God's angels, God's presence kept me alive and still keeping me alive. So God's angels are there. They are going to protect us. So we could see spiritual realm through our spiritual eyes, so that we could be strengthened, we could be encouraged. So as you see here, you can see God with your spiritual eyes. Some of the biblical characters who saw God with their spiritual eyes. As you see, Elisha, he had that encounter. You know, Elisha was surrounded by the enemies. Elisha was surrounded by chariots. Okay, all the great army, he was surrounded. So there is no way out, actually. He was completely surrounded by all these enemies and their chariots. So there is no escape. There is no other way. When you are surrounded by a group of people to kill you, how can you save yourself unless God's hand is there for you? So that was the situation in the Old Testament. Elisha, as you see, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. So actually, Syrian king, actually he sent all these chariots, soldiers, enemies to capture Elisha. So as you see here, so he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, which means seeing, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So you see the scenario here. Elisha was able to see God's chariots, angels. He was able to see. And he was so comfortable. And he is just peaceful. He was just peaceful. But his servant was so nervous. He was afraid. And he was so much worried. When he was just looking at enemies, their chariots, and their army, but he wasn't able to see God's chariots, army. So that is the difference between looking at spiritual things and material things. So, you know, the master and servant. Master was able to see spiritual things. Servant was not able to see spiritual things. Sometimes we are in the church, you know, next to you, he may see God's presence, but you may not see God's presence. So the only difference is, you know, his eyes are opened, but your eyes are blinded. So, and also David, you know, in Psalms 17, verse 15, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." So, "I shall behold your face in righteousness." So David was able to see God's face of righteousness. He was able to satisfy himself by the presence of God. And also in the New Testament, Stephen, you know, we have a Stephen here, but we are not talking about our Stephen, but in the New Testament, we have a Stephen, and the situation was so horrible. He was about to be stoned by the people, you know, stoned to death. There were people who were stoned to death in the Old Testament. And even nowadays, you can see the same scenario in Arab countries. You know, if a woman is caught in prostitution or whatever it may be, you know, they're still stoning that woman. So the stoning is so horrible punishment, actually. So you see the situation, you know, people brought Mary Magdalena to Christ. You know, they told Jesus, you know, Jesus, she was caught in the adultery. So according to the Moses law, we need to stone this woman. But Jesus said, you know, he wrote something on the sand and the people were astonished and they drop off their stones and they left because everyone is sinner and we all sinned and fallen from the glory of God. So, but here Stephen also, he was about to be stoned, not because he was a murderer or maybe not because he was a fornicator or adulterer, but he was sharing the good news with the people. He was sharing the God's love with the people. So they were angry and they wanted to stone Stephen. But Stephen was able to see the glory of God. In Book of Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 59, as you see there, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him, but he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. So people are around him, they were so angry, ferocious. They wanted to kill Stephen, yet he was filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So he was able to have that encounter with the Heavenly Father, Son, Lord Jesus Christ. So, but what happened? But they cried out and with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So Stephen wasn't shaky when the circumstances were so messy and very chaotic, under control. They're not under control. Yet Stephen believed, you know, everything is under control. God is still in the throne. Jesus is still on the throne. And everything is in his hands. Even though the whole earth shakes, yet we are in his hands. So we are firm and we are strong. So as believers here, I'm going to conclude here, but I wanted to bring few things before I conclude. As believers, we are living in these end days. You know, when we see things, material things, our faith can be shaken. Even sometimes we may lose our faith. We may be blinded by looking at all these things in the world that are taking place right now. But we need to be aware of our spiritual eyes. We need to have that encounter with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every day to day our life, we need to make sure our spiritual eyes are open and we are able to see the spiritual things, spiritual realm. So we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against spirits, all these evil spirits. But God had given us authority over all the evil spirits. So we're going to trample on the serpents, and Jesus is calling us, we are overcomers. Because Jesus had overcame the sin and death, and as we are his children, we are going to overcome whatever comes into our path as we believe in Jesus. In conclusion, I would like to read 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. So we need to make sure that we see God in every circumstances of our life. We make sure our spiritual eyes are open to see his presence, to his angels, to see his angels, the glory. So when we are able to focus and when we are able to see him, we need not to worry about anything that is happening around us or in our lives. So according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted. You know, we use spits, right? Glasses. We have lens. You know, some people, they use lens. You know, 20 by 20 vision. I don't know how many of you have 20 by 20, right? I mean, even I myself, sometimes I wonder. I mean, I don't want to wear glasses. I want to have good vision, right? Of course, everyone wants to have good vision, right? So spiritually also, we need to make sure we have that eyesight, spiritual eyesight, 20 by 20, or even better than that. I'm not sure there is something better than 20 by 20. But when you have the clear eyesight, the spiritual eyesight, you are going to see God and His presence. So, but how are you going to have that spiritual eyesight? You know, especially, you know, we need to make sure for this every reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, heavenly knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so narrow-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. Sometimes we forget that we are saved by grace, our sins were forgiven. Sometimes we forget. So we need to make sure our spiritual eyes are always opened to see God's presence, so that we can stand like how all these great people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you know, all the warriors, they kept their faith, and they walked by faith, not by sight. They were able to view, and they were able to discern, they were able to understand God's presence, and they kept their faith, and they have completely, they have successfully finished their race. So today, we make sure we are not nearsighted, but we are seeing God's presence, and we are going to walk by faith, not by sight. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this wonderful time that you have given us. Lord, your word is so precious. Lord, your word is the light. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, help us to have the clear vision. Lord, just open our eyes so that we may see you and your glory and your presence, O Father, Lord. Lord Jesus, right now, I just pray for those who are near blinded, O Father, Lord, nearsighted. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you open their eyes and give them sight so that they may be able to see the eternal things of Father, Lord, and invisible things of Father, Lord. Lord, you are invisible, but you are visible with our with our spiritual eyes, O Lord. Lord, help us to walk by faith, not by sight, O Lord. Once again, I submit all of us into your hands, O Lord. And also I pray for the offerings, O Lord, as we come into your presence with our open hands, to give whatever we have, whatever you provided us, O Lord. You accept our offerings, O Lord, and bless us, O Father, Lord, and help us to grow more and more in your presence so that we may see your glory and your presence. We thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.